Right, the reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 13. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed them my power. Now you will summon foreign nations. At one time they did not know you, but now they will come running to join you. I, the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make all this happen. I will give you honor and glory. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near. Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord, our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours, and my ways are different from yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours. My word is like the snow and the rain that come down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for sowing and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do. You will leave Babylon with joy. You will be led out of the city in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into singing, and the trees will shout for joy. Cypress trees will grow where now there are briars. Myrtle trees will come up in place of thorns. This will be a sign that will last forever, a reminder of what I, the Lord, have done." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning, and I just want to show you something. This is my phone. You may remember the last time I was here, it rang three times while I was preaching. I want to tell you that I've learned all about it now, and I have switched it off. And the main reason that I switched it off is that Lisa threatened this time that she would ring me in the middle of the sermon. I'm really pleased that you have a lady with such a pastoral heart to be leading you here in Chelmsford. But this phone is switched off. So if you hear a phone going off, it's not mine this time. I hope I've managed to switch it off anyway. I'm sure you'd agree that it's always great to get an invitation, whether it's to a wedding or a party or a meal or just to be with someone. It makes you feel valued, it makes you feel wanted, and sometimes it makes you feel needed. It means that somebody values your company and there's a place especially for you. I wanted to share with you this morning, in my first opportunity of this new year, from Isaiah chapter 55, one of the great chapters in the Bible. I'm sure that you would have recognized as it was being read there that a lot of our songs come from this chapter, and a lot of verses that we know but maybe don't know where they're from come from this chapter. And Isaiah 55 is essentially an invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and so on. What makes it a special is that it's a kind of irresistible invitation. Someone described it like this: it's an invitation to faith, not to works. God isn't asking you to do anything except just come by faith to him. It's an invitation to a banquet, not a kitchen. The meal's prepared, you just have to come and enjoy it. And it's an invitation to a person, not a ritual. God just wants your company. And I see in this something very precious and important this morning, because I sense in it that there's a kind of indication that sometimes things are tough. Sometimes we all go through difficult times. Things happen that upset us or exhaust us or frustrate us or hurt us. And we can get tired and we can get dry and we can get cold and we can lose something of the fire and enthusiasm that we once had for God and for his people. And this invitation in Isaiah 55 is an invitation to come and in a kind of way of faith to take what God has prepared for us. I want you to notice the things he mentions. Water for the thirsty. What does water do? It refreshes us, purifies us, it renews us. And I don't know about you, but I found over the years it's sometimes possible to get dry and parched spiritually. Maybe that's how some of you are this morning. You've been so busy, you're engaged in service, you're giving out all the time, you're doing and you're doing and you're doing, and you've got dry inside, spiritually dry, and you need a refreshing and a renewing, maybe even a forgiving. And God says, come to the waters of my love and receive that refreshing from him. Then there's bread for the hungry. He speaks here of bread, the great source of nourishment for the people of the day. Don't know about you, but I love the smell and the taste of freshly baked bread. A bit of butter and raspberry jam helps as well, but the bread itself is lovely. I wonder if you've got a kind of spiritual hunger this morning, a hunger for more of God, a greater knowledge of him, more experience of his presence and purpose in your life, more assurance that you're on the right path. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The invitation is to come and be fed by faith. And then wine. Now, whether you're teetotal or not, the fact is that in the Bible, wine is always associated with joy. Psalm 104, verse 15 speaks of wine that gladdens the heart of man. And the first miracle that Jesus performed that we are aware of was to turn water into wine at the wedding so the celebrations could continue. And it may be this morning that your heart is filled with sadness. Somehow the circumstances of life have robbed you of your joy. And the invitation of Isaiah 55 is to come and have a kind of spiritual drink of wine that God might restore that joy to you. And then he speaks of milk. This is the fourth thing, and in Bible times, milk was a symbol of satisfaction and strength. You know, when God was promising a land to the people of Israel, how did he describe it? It was a land flowing with milk and honey, wasn't it? And that was the promise that they would have in the land enough to sustain them and satisfy them. I wonder if you've come to church this morning feeling a bit weak, a bit inadequate, feeling you're not making any impact. Your faith might be weak and your example isn't making any difference in your family life or your work life or your social life. The invitation is to come and by faith allow God to renew your strengths and satisfy your heart. And to renew your understanding that you're on the right road. And so this is the irresistible invitation. Come, find water and bread and wine and milk, the things that refresh, nourish, bring joy and satisfaction and strength. The invitation is from God. And notice, it's a free invitation. You don't have to pay. You don't have to work for it. We just come by faith and enjoy what God is offering. And once we've accepted the invitation, we're at that place where we can receive four things God shares with us. Let me share them with you for a few moments this morning. Verses 3 to 5 tells us of the promise. God promises to make an everlasting covenant with us. He refers to David, who was the great king, a hero with the people, with whom God made a covenant. But that was an old covenant. Now he's promising a new covenant. And of course, it came to reality when Jesus came. What's a covenant? A covenant is a promise that cannot be broken by the person who makes it. You can break a promise, but you can't break a covenant. Do you remember what Jesus said when he introduced the communion meal in the upper room in Jerusalem the night before the cross? He took the cup of wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." In other words, what he's about to achieve by dying on the cross and then rising from the dead means it's now possible to have a relationship with God that is never, ever going to end. And the wrong things that we've done will be forgiven. The past with its faults and failings will be forgotten. Everything will become new. And I want to say something to you this morning, and I'd like you to really take it on board. Maybe controversial, I don't know, but I believe it's so important. If you are a Christian, if you have asked Jesus to forgive you and asked him to take over the control of your life, if you have committed your life to him, you are now in a covenant relationship with God that cannot and will not be broken. You cannot be a Christian today and not a Christian tomorrow. You can't have salvation today and lose it tomorrow. You can't be on your way to heaven this week and then on your way to hell next week. God has made a covenant with you that he cannot and will not break. And we all get it wrong at times, and we all fail, and we all go through times of doubt and disobedience, and we drift, but it doesn't affect our salvation because we're in a covenant with God. It's not about our goodness, it's about God's grace. And if our commitment to Christ on the day of our conversion is genuine, the covenant kicks in. And I wonder if someone needs to hear this and take it on board this morning, because maybe you're going through a time of doubt and you're wondering, am I really a Christian? Is my salvation really real? God is a covenant-making God, and he will not let you go. But then, thirdly, there comes a warning in verses 6 and 7. So far, so good with this irresistible invitation. But now there's a word of warning to those who are not yet in the covenant, who are not yet, in modern terms, Christians, who don't yet belong to Jesus. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come to him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. I said to you earlier, and I've been saying this is an irresistible invitation, but the fact is that any invitation is resistible. You don't have to respond to an invitation. You can say, "I don't want to come to your wedding." You can find a reason or an excuse not to be there. And what Isaiah 55 is about is an invitation. It is not a command. And one of the really important things we need to understand about God is he is not a gate crasher. He never forces himself on us. We see that when we read the New Testament. You remember the story of the rich young ruler, the young man who came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to have eternal life. And he had everything going for him, his youth, his riches, his status, his authority, and his goodness, because he had kept the commandments. And Jesus says to him, "Oh, give up those riches because they mean more to you than I would. And it would be a barrier to a real commitment to follow Jesus. And we read, he went away sad. But we read that his decision did not affect the love Jesus had for him. But Jesus, while he was sad, didn't run after him. He didn't argue with him. He didn't try to compromise with him. He let him go. This morning, we have a choice. And the challenge here is to make that choice while there is time. Opportunities come and opportunities go. And I want to ask any of you here this morning who are not yet committed to Jesus, who are maybe thinking about it, wondering about it, who may be feeling that you have too many questions that you haven't got answers for, who are searching but feel you've not found the answer, I want to ask you this morning, isn't it time? Isn't this the moment? There's an invitation here. It's not forced upon you. You need to accept, to put it just very bluntly and in an old-fashioned way, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. But then in verses 8 to 11, we find the assurance. And what we have here is a picture of the greatness of God. He says, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than ours. And that greatness has been revealed in what he calls his word. And for us today, that word is the book, the Bible. And what he's saying here is that whenever the word is preached or taught or shared, something happens. A purpose is fulfilled. It accomplishes what he desires. Will you allow me to be a little bit personal for a moment this morning? I've been preaching now for a lot of years. I haven't a clue how many times I've preached from this book, I guess thousands of times. And many people would say today that preaching is old-fashioned. It's no longer relevant as a way of communicating in a visual age. And so why do I do it? Because I believe what it says in Isaiah 55. Every time I or Lisa or Lindsay or anyone else preaches from this book, something happens. Some purpose of God is fulfilled. Some plan of God is achieved. And often we won't know what it is. And many times I've discovered over the years that when I think my sermon has been duff, that has been the time that God has worked in people's lives. It's quite a sobering thing. Other times I thought this was a belter this morning and there's no reaction. Or it seems there's no reaction. The fact is that God honors his word being preached. Some seed is being sown, some challenge is being issued, some guidance is being given, some conviction is being established. Something is happening. And if I didn't believe that, I would have given up years ago and gone and sold cars. I've done a bit of that as well, but that's another story. There is such an assurance here that this morning something of God's purpose is being fulfilled in this place, in the lives of his people, as his word is being shared. And you might not feel it this morning, you might not understand it, you might not recognize it right now, but something is happening in these moments that is accomplishing what God desires. And I tell you, I find that exciting and worth all the prayer and the study and the preparation. And there's something else. Listen, whenever you read from this book or hear it read, something happens. A seed will be sown, a thought will be established. Maybe even unconsciously, but God's word is having an effect and fulfilling a purpose. And that's why it's important for you to read, to study, to memorize it, and to apply it. Because through it, we have the assurance of God's purposes in our lives and that they are being fulfilled. God's word does not return to him empty. Whenever it's preached, whenever it's read, something always happens. Something is always achieved. I think that's amazing. And I think it's great. And then lastly, in Isaiah 55, the chapter of the great irresistible invitation, there is a celebration, verses 12 and 13. The invitation has been given to come for water, bread, wine, and milk. When we respond, we receive the promise of the new covenant that cannot and will not be broken. There's a warning to those who have not yet responded to seek the Lord while he may be found. For those who have responded, there's the assurance that through God's word, preached, taught, or read, his purpose is being fulfilled, his desires are being accomplished. And now, for Isaiah, it's just a matter of celebration. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. As I get older, I realize there is a great temptation to get grumpier. Pauline was once asked if she ever wakes up grumpy, and her reply was that she never does. She lets me sleep on. And I do get grumpy when I try to do things and I find to get it wrong. This past week, I decided to get my old turntable down from the loft and my old record. Some of you remember LPs? Yeah, remember LPs? I tried to set it up again, and I got the wiring wrong, and I get so grumpy. I get grumpy when I'm in the queue at the post office and the person in front of me wants them to deal with his passport, road tax, and post 30 parcels of different weights. I get grumpy when my team loses a silly goal. And I support Glasgow Rangers, so that happens a lot. Why, though? I also get grumpy when I see Christians who imagine that to be a Christian means to be grumpy. Why do we get such a reputation for being miserable? I tell you this morning, I'm so glad here this morning that there's been laughter in the church. Of course, it's a serious business. There are times to be solemn. But the fact is, we are called this morning to be a people of joy. We serve a loving God. We love a living Savior. We have the Spirit of God within us. We've been forgiven. We've been saved. We have a destiny that is glorious. We have a life that death cannot end. And we have a purpose to fulfill here and now that makes every day an adventure. We're in a covenant with God. Surely we should be people of joy. We've accepted the invitation. We've sought the Lord. We've entered a covenant relationship, seeing God's purposes fulfilled. So let us this morning go out with joy and be led forth with peace. We have so much to rejoice in. Listen to God in Isaiah 55. Accept the invitation. If you haven't yet, do it this morning and celebrate what he has done and is doing in our lives and in our church. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this great chapter given to people who were going through tough times, but before whom there was a hope of a glorious future. Lord, help us to renew our acceptance of your invitation, to find water and bread and wine and milk, and find our hearts and our souls restored and renewed and refreshed. Remind us of the covenant that we are in. Help us, Lord, if we've not yet made that commitment and responded to the invitation to do that. Lord, help us to receive the promise that your word doesn't return empty to you. And give us the grace and the desire to go out with joy and to be filled with your peace. Lord, thank you for the irresistible invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.